This morning on Wake Up with Hope, Pastor Mark Finley is back with another inspiring devotional. We will talk about the power of currents and how they relate to our spiritual life.
And we will have encouraging music just for you. Stay with us.
Good morning and welcome to another refreshing episode of Wake Up with Hope. You know, every morning is a new opportunity to share the love of Jesus with someone. And we are here today to share that joy with you.
We sure are, friends. Happy Friday and happy Raspberry Day.
Yes.
Raspberries, with their vibrant color and sweet taste, are a favorite fruit for so many people. And I am one of those people.
Oh, I know
how much I love raspberries.
Yes, you do. And you can be sure that this fruit, besides being very vibrant and sweet, also has this amazing health properties.
Yes, it does. That's absolutely right. Raspberries are loaded with high amounts of antioxidants and phytonutrients, which help protect against cancer.
Wow. And did you know that they can also help with managing diabetes?
Yes.
Wow. Interesting. That's because they contain this mineral. It sounds like mango. What is that again?
Manganese.
Manganese. Manganese. And it helps regulate blood sugar. How amazing is that?
It is amazing. And that's because God is an amazing creator. And He has created so many different fruits and vegetables for us to enjoy and be blessed by.
Amen. And we can be sure that we can share this incredible hope we have with others today. So let's begin by taking a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On September 15, 1858, the New Overland Mail Company sent out its first two stages inaugurating government mail service between the eastern and western regions of the nation. The establishment of the transcontinental mail service can be seen as a reminder of the interconnectedness of God's creation and the ways in which human endeavors can bridge vast distances and bring people together.
That's it mentions in Romans chapter 12, verse 5. So in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. You know, this verse highlights the idea of unity and how as believers in the body of Christ, we are all one. It reminds us that despite physical distances, we are all part of the larger family.
That's right. We are.
Yeah. And God has called you and He's called me to bridge divides and to connect with one another and to spread His everlasting message of hope and love. You know, just as mail carriers deliver letters and messages across great distances, you know, believers are called to share the message of salvation, grace, and God's love to people across cultures and regions. So, friend, what can you do today to do your part in sharing the gospel with the world?
Amen. That's a good question for us to ponder as we move forward now and listen to some beautiful music by the Collingsworth family. Do you know the Savior?
Glory and majesty, to be light and to bring hope. Christ Messiah sent from heaven, Jesus God with us, Emmanuel, Prince of Peace, Almighty Savior, came into this world as one of us.
located in the deep blue sea and subject to the convergence of three major currents, the Galapagos Island is ruled by the brutal forces of nature. But this is also the reason for the abundance of life. Let's watch now as Pastor Taj Pakleb takes us to the Galapagos as he explores a very profound spiritual lesson he's learned by experiencing its currents.
It was the famous French explorer Jacques Cousteau who once said, "The sea, once it casts its spell, holds one in its net of wonder forever." I experienced the truth of this statement many years ago. From my earliest memories, I was always drawn to the sea. I grew up swimming and surfing, cliff jumping and cave diving, immersing myself in everything the sea had to offer. The ocean is definitely my favorite playground. For most human beings, there seems to be a natural draw to the water. Its views are calming, and its embrace is refreshing. Perhaps this natural draw comes from the fact that we've spent the first 9 months of our existence in it. And ever since birth, it has always been a part of us. 60% of our body is made up of water. It's literally in our blood. And during times of inexpressible joy or unspeakable sorrow, our deepest emotions are expressed by the salt water of our tears. For me, the ocean is my comfort place. It is my therapeutic haven where I can be still and connect with the Creator. It is the only way to visit another world without leaving planet Earth. The ocean is a water world of liquid wonder just waiting to be explored. I've had the privilege of diving in many different parts of the ocean, and the sea never ceases to amaze me with its power and beauty. But of all the waters I've immersed myself in, the waters of Galapagos have definitely been the most challenging, but at the same time, the most rewarding. The Galapagos are a chain of volcanic islands located 600 miles off the coast of Ecuador in the Great Pacific Ocean. The surrounding open ocean waters drops to a depth of over 9,000 feet. The islands are just the tips of underwater volcanoes that have united in a vast underwater platform. The massive submarine slopes rise from the ocean floor, breaking the ocean surface into the island chain that we see and walk upon today. Straddling the equator, most would assume that the waters of Galapagos are warm and tropical, but there are strong currents that create a much cooler climate than one would expect. In fact, there are three main currents that converge on this island paradise. The warm Panama flow coming from the northeast, the cold Cromwell currents advancing from the west, then you have the strong Humboldt currents surging from that Arctic south. These strong currents make these waters extremely challenging to explore. Being located in the deep blue sea and subject to this convergence of currents, Galapagos is ruled by the brutal forces of nature. But this is also the reason for the abundance of life. When the underwater currents clash with the Galapagos platform, it shoots up from the ocean floor, bringing a mineral and nutrient-rich upwelling to the surface. As the equatorial sun bathes the mineral-rich waters, it triggers blooms of microscopic algae and phytoplankton. Then, through the means of photosynthesis, the algae bloom creates 50 to 80% of the world's oxygen. You see, without the currents that cause the bloom of algae, which create the oxygen, life on Earth would be unsustainable. The phytoplankton also forms the foundation of the ocean food chain. It is eaten by zooplankton, which in turn is eaten by tiny fish, which are then eaten by bigger and bigger fish, all the way up the food chain. And this is the reason why so much diversity of life, big and small, intercept here at the Galapagos. It is a major feeding station in the Pacific. So the strong and challenging currents, mixing with the warm equatorial sun, are basically the lifeline that sustains all life in this region. We are literally drifting in a current of life. Oceanic highways of health that serve as a marine buffet for the local residents and traveling nomads of the sea. Diving in these strong currents can be challenging and at times even dangerous. But for those who are up to the challenge, it brings the incredible reward of seeing the beauty and power of God up close in living creation. As we've drifted with the various schools of marine life and the currents of Galapagos, I've learned a thing or two about currents. One of them is this. There are currents that lift you up and currents that pull you down. Currents that are safe to drift with and others you must swim against. Currents that bring you to life and others that can pull you to death. In order to safely dive in the Galapagos, you must not only drift in the right current, but you must also carry a reef hook in case you encounter a bad current. The reef hook serves as a personal anchor that holds you to the rock. Each diver must have their own. When the currents are ripping, it is not wise to trust in the anchor of your dive buddy. Each must have their own personal connection to the rock in order to be safe. Each must choose for themselves to hang on and not let go. For it is our connection to the rock that enables us to withstand the strong currents seeking to pull us to our demise. We're not strong enough to stand against the current, but the mighty rock is strong enough. This reality is also true in life above the surface. You see, living in a world of sin, seldom do we find ourselves in perfectly peaceful conditions. There are constant currents of influence trying to pull us in many different directions. There are hellish influences that are constantly pulling us down in disobedience, discouragement, and spiritual death. But then there are also heavenly influences that are always seeking to lift us up in trustful faith, blessed hope, and unconditional love. You see, in order to be successful in life, we must choose wisely which current we allow to carry us, which influence we would choose to follow. Sometimes it's hard to resist the down currents that are pulling us in the wrong direction. Sometimes it's just easier to go with the surges and urges of our own carnal flesh. And sometimes we don't have the strength to resist the pull of what is popular or the flow of what is forbidden. But we can't afford to allow ourselves to be carried away, pulled down by a world that is drifting in the wrong direction. So in times like these, what we need is to be anchored to the immovable rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, He is the one, the only one that can rescue us from the currents of death and carry us in the currents of unfailing love to the great heavenly haven above. And so today, I encourage you to allow the rich current of God's love to lift you up to life more abundant and life everlasting. And when the down currents of death begin to pull you away, be very sure that your anchor holds and grips to the solid rock. So hold on and don't let go. And may the rich currents of blessing continue to flow.
How are you enjoying our program this morning? Send us a message on our Facebook page and let us know.
Also, don't forget to visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to take a look back at recent episodes and see what else we have going on at Hope Channel. And subscribe to our YouTube channel to keep up with us. We'll be right back after a short break.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope, friends. Thank you for staying with us this mid-September morning.
It's now time for a devotional thought. This morning, it will be brought to us by Pastor Mark Finley.
What's more important, your character or your reputation? What is character? What is reputation? Our reputation is the perception that others have of us. Our reputation has to do with others, what others think about us. When other people hear your name, what do they think about? What thoughts come into their mind? Our character is who we really are. Our character has to do with not what others think we are, but what we actually are. Our character is the most important thing. Now, I've heard people say, well, don't worry about your reputation, just worry about your character. What's more important in a car, to have brakes or gas? What's more important to have in a car? Is it to be able for the car to go or the car to stop? You say that's a false dichotomy. And it's in a sense true. It's a false dichotomy with character and reputation. God desires us to have a positive reputation so that we can positively influence people. But that reputation is never to be achieved at the expense of character. If you have a solid character that knows God, that loves God, that's committed to blessing other people, that will create a positive reputation. In Proverbs chapter 22, the proverb talks to us about reputation. It says in Proverbs 22, verse 1, "A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold." A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. If we make a commitment to unselfishly serve like Jesus served, he will take care of our reputation. During the early days of the Salvation Army, William Booth and his associates were bitterly attacked by the press, by religious leaders, and government leaders alike. Whenever his son Bramwell showed Booth a newspaper attack, the general would simply reply, "Now, son, now, Bramwell, 50 years from now, it will matter very little indeed how these people treated us. It will matter a great deal how we deal with the work of God." William Booth knew that the most important thing in life is doing God's will. The most important thing in life is a knowledge of God and allowing the Holy Spirit to create with us an unselfish, kind character. Think about the Salvation Army today just for a moment. They have a sterling reputation. I know when my dad was growing up, he had no father that he knew of, brought up in very poverty-stricken homes in New York City, places like Hell's Kitchen and the Harlem in New York. And his dad was brought up there. He had a rough time. He was brought up in the Great Depression in the United States, 1928, 29, 30, 31, 32. Those were very difficult years. People were unemployed in the United States, hard to get work. They were standing in long bread lines to get bread just to survive. And it was cold in New York City, but the Salvation Army provided for my father clothing during that time. They provided a coat for him, which he didn't have. And they developed a sterling reputation for unselfish sacrificial service. The most important thing in life is a knowledge of Christ, a relationship with him, a commitment to do his work, to reflect his character and follow his leading. And if that is our decision, he will take care of our reputation. Our reputations are not nearly as important as our characters. And if we're committed to do God's will, he's going to guard our reputations. If we're committed to do his will, he will care for our reputations. In the book of Matthew, chapter 20, we have a story of a mother. And we shouldn't blame this mom too much. She's a story of a mom that wants the best for her children. She's a story of a mom who wants to see her children have position, have honor, have a good reputation. So in Matthew chapter 20, verse 20, this mother of Zebedee's sons, James and John, comes to Jesus with her sons. And she kneels before him and she says, and Jesus says to her, "What do you want?" And she says, "Grant that these two sons of mine may sit one on your right hand and the other on your left in your kingdom." See, she thinks that Jesus is going to come into his kingdom. And she thinks, "I know what I want. I want my sons to have a place of honor. I want them to have a place of position, a place of authority. I want their reputation to be one that they're sitting, one in Christ's left hand, one in Christ's right hand. That's what I want." And Jesus shocks her. He says, a little later in the chapter, verse 25, he calls all of his disciples to himself. He has a lesson he wants to teach them. He says, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. Those that are great exercise authority over them. They have this great reputation. But it's not going to be so among you." Verse 26, "Whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. Whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. Jesus came not to give his time, but to give his life. He came to reveal the character of God. He touched the eyes of the blind and they were opened. Touched the ears of the deaf and they were unstopped. Touched the withered man's arm and it was healed. Touched legs that were paralyzed and they leaped and walked again with new life. Forgave the sin of the woman caught in adultery. Broke the bread and fed 5,000. What is it about this Christ that draws all men to him today? What is it that gives him such a positive reputation? It's his character. It's his life of service. And he hangs on that cross with nails through his hands and blood running down his wrists and blood running from the temples, from the crown of thorns upon his head, matting in his beard and dripping at the stone at the foot of the cross. He dies there bearing your sins and mine. He dies with the guilt of sin, the condemnation of sin. He who knew no sin took sin upon himself for us. What is it that causes songs to be sung about him? What is it that causes artists to paint pictures of him? What is it that causes books to be written about Christ? Why? What has given him such a positive reputation that echoes and re-echoes down the ages? Here's what it is. Jesus was more concerned about his character than his reputation. And Jesus knew that if he lived a life of self-sacrificial service, a life of love and kindness and compassion, that God would take care of his reputation. And that happened. What about you? Proverbs says a good name is better than riches. How do you achieve a good name? By striving for it, by seeking first place, by trying to get as much power as you can to gain a good reputation. Tell God you want a character of loving service, and he'll take care of your reputation.
Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Mark.
And thank you for watching Wake Up with Hope. If you would like to learn more about our program, rewatch a segment during the weekend, or share us with a friend, please visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And we look forward to starting the new week together. So don't forget to join us on Monday at 7 a.m. Our friends from Voice of Prophecy will be sharing a devotional thought. We will have another recipe from Gia and her family. And we will have music by Jamie George and so much more. You don't want to miss any of it. And don't forget, if you enjoyed today's devotional thought and would like to learn more, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
All right. And of course, we can't leave without sharing a Bible promise with you. And today's Bible promise says in Psalm chapter 9, verse 18,
it says, "But God will never forget the needy. The hope of the afflicted will never perish."
You know, friend, are you in need of something? Are you hurting? Are you afflicted? Well, God will never forget you. He has promised to always be near you and ready to help. So friends, cling to him. Believe his promise and you will not be disappointed.
Amen. We are ready to start our weekend now, friends. We pray that you will take these reminders of God's love with you throughout the weekend. And we truly hope that you have a beautiful rest of the day. And we can't wait to see you on Monday.
Amen. Let's pray together. Oh, Father in heaven, today, Lord, we turn to you. When we feel lonely or discouraged, we have you by our side. And we're so thankful, Lord, that you are the God who also offers us peace, joy, and hope at any time. As we look to you, Lord, you are the God who supplies our every need. And so today, Lord, we're so thankful for the inspiration and the courage we have. May you walk with us every step of the way. In Jesus' name, amen.